we will look at some words found in the epistles of Paul. I shall speak on one particular matter, but you will find that these words are found three times in the New Testament. So any of these texts could have been my text this morning. First of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Secondly, we turn to the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then back further to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Immediately we can see something that is common to all three of those texts. It is the idea of walking worthy. Walk worthy. Let me take those two words separately, just for a moment. Walk. Now, walk is a common biblical figure for conduct or behavior. We read in Romans and chapter 4 that we are to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. So to live. In Romans 6:4, we are exhorted to walk in newness of life. So to live. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we read, walk by faith and not by sight. So to live. God, in his grace, at the beginning of grace given and received, moves us to go his way. Of course, we are naturally out of his way. The Bible says we have gone astray, like lost sheep, that we are estranged from the very time we are born in this world. But then the hour of grace strikes, and God comes to us in his grace, and he imparts to us his Spirit, and he moves us. The promise here is Ezekiel 36. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments to do them. And what a wonder it is that a rebel sinner who has gone every way but God's way is arrested and is brought to turn about and seek the Lord and his will for the rest of their lives. At that moment of grace, we resolve to turn back to God, just as the prodigal turns back to his father. However, there is difficulty in coming back to God because we have a history and we have great guilt on account of our departures, and we provoked God by our perverseness of spirit and disobedience of life. But Christ is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And our first recourse is to the Saviour, to understand that he died to atone for our sins, and that trusting in him, there is a free pardon to be found. And resting upon all that he has done, which is acceptable to the Father, we can turn back unafraid, unperturbed. It is thus that we experience the great change. Our life now is in a different direction. It is Godward. It is towards God's word, towards his precepts. My soul, says the psalmist, followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. So that we're not only brought to turn around or to turn back to God, but we are graciously assisted and strengthened every moment so that we may not turn back again. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And thus begins the Christian's walk. It is, of course, only when converted that we can walk that way. There are many who may appear to live the Christian life because they're basically honest, because they have a form of religion about them, because they make out that they have the root of the matter in them, and do many things to convince people that it is so. But the difference in a true Christian walk is that we have been inwardly changed so that our desire of heart is to go God's way. And we go that way, secondly, trusting in God's grace and his strength. For Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so the true Christian walks the walk because he is daily dependent upon the help that comes from his Saviour. Hence, I live, says the Apostle, by the faith of the Son of God. And again, we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's just not a matter of turning, but it is a matter of going. And going this time in the Lord's way. This brings me to say that Christianity, according to these texts, is nothing if it is not practical. We walk, and we must walk worthy. It is represented to us, this real Christianity in God's Word, as something which is not only believed, but something which is performed. A profession of faith without practice is hypocrisy. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, and do not the things that I say?" It's not for real unless it works. It's not for real unless it's changed the way you live. It's not for real unless your life is different from the lives of non-Christians. We must walk. The outworking of the turnabout. The outworking of conversion is walking in a different direction, in a different manner, in different company, with different objectives. And having a different aim and a different end, so to live as to glorify God. It is this that God counts Christianity, not the other, of which Paul writes when he says in his letter to Titus of some that they profess the name of God, but in works they deny him. That is hypocrisy and vanity of an extreme kind. Such religion is worthless. It is a mockery of everything sacred. God wants to see continuance along a different path. Walk, he says. You say that you've changed. Walk. You say that you've repented and believed. Walk. You say that you're a Christian. Walk. Walk worthy. Our Christian life should be such as not only to take the attention of God, but such as to take the attention of other people and have effect upon them, so that they look upon them, upon us, and they say, "Well, I don't understand what's happened, but they're not the persons that they were. They're not even living the kind of life that they were. They're not walking with us. They're walking with God and with his people." It was said of the Thessalonians, ye were examples to them that believe in all Achaia. Others noticed how they walked. They were impressed. They were convicted. Ultimately, they were converted. The whole world should be able to see we're now in God's way. Not only does God take account of this, and others take account of this, but we ourselves take account of it. Because I believe there is no comfort in our Christianity unless we can reflect upon ourselves and see that with all our imperfections and our failures, at least we are moving in the right direction. If we don't see that, my friends, I think we must judge ourselves to be mimics. And worse, hypocrites. Walk. You say to me, but you must define what this walk is. How I am to discover the way and persevere in it. Well, the short answer to that is to walk in the Christian sense, according to these verses, is to live according to the direction of God's word. It is said of the Lord in Isaiah 2 and verse 3, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. So the word of God is the root that we must take in our walking. This is how we are to live. He hath showed thee, O man, what is required of thee. Walk it. And if we consult the word of God, we shall see there that there are duties of worship and of service which we must perform. This is part of the way to keep the Sabbath, to honor God, to remember him in public response of praise and prayer, to walk that way. That is to be godly. It is also to be righteous and to live in a way that is consistent with righteousness and justice, treating others as we should and as we would that they treated us. Walk that way. But it's not simply outward, is it? There is a progress that must be known in the soul. The exercise of our graces. We must progress in these Paul writes to the Ephesians, walk in love. Make progress, not only outwardly in greater conformity of life, but inwardly in greater conformity of heart. See that ye love the Lord's people. Let that be your way. See that you love your friends. Let that be your way. Your fellow members, let that be your way. Your fathers and mothers, let that be your way. Your brothers and sisters, let that be your way. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. It must be a progress of heart as well as of life. Having said that, let me add that there must be continuous motion. We must walk. As Bonar would say, walk until our travelling days are done. Christianity is not the enthusiasm of a moment. It's not the excitement of one particular time when you're converted or when you're baptized. It is the whole of the rest of your life. The apostle tells us to pursue holiness in the fear of God. In another place he says, let us go on. Christianity is not for those who stand still or who wish to do so. And nothing must be allowed to interrupt our course, deflect us, or cause us to faint. Remember how Paul writes to the Galatians, and he has this to say with sadness of heart to them, ye did run well. How sad that is. When they profess faith, there was such promise. Such thanksgiving round about them. Such an impression that God has wrought this. That Paul has to take pen to paper and say, it's a thing of the past, isn't it? He did run well. Now, friends, it can be a temptation that has come into the life which has obstructed us, even turned us aside from the commandment. The power of the enemy without the devil, Satan hath hindered us, or within our own lusts which war against the soul. But it must not be so. The Lord's people are exhorted to endure to the end. The exhortation is, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. No man, Jesus said, having put his hand to the plough, having said that he's a Christian man, that he intends to live the Christian life, that he is from henceforth the Lord's, no man, having put his hand to the plough, must look back for such a man is not worthy of the kingdom of God. It must in general, before I pass on quickly, it must in general be a good walk. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Right up to that final moment, he walked. He walked with God, which means not only that he knew the communion of God, but he walked according to God's will, the way that God himself approved, the way in which God would be enjoyed. A good walk. I would exhort you young Christians this morning, whatever has overtaken you, whatever has thrown you, remember that you're walking the way to heaven. And you must not therefore give over. And you must not therefore give up. Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. So live, young people, that you may say that before you die. But whatever you do while you're young, don't make the ultimate mistake that can be made in this life of halting your progress, turning from the Lord, breaking his word, and living in a way that is manifestly unworthy. Walk! The second word is worthy. Walk worthy. The Greek word here is axios. It doesn't mean worthy in the sense of walk so as to attain to merit. Walk so as to be deserving of God's blessing, worthy in that sense. But the word really means suitably. With a meekness, with an appropriateness. You know, when John the Baptist said to the Jews who came to his baptism, bring forth fruits meet or fit for repentance, he uses this word, axios. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Appropriate to it. Walk worthy. Walk in a way that is befitting. Walk in a way that is becoming. What way is that? Make conscience of your thoughts so that you don't think bad things. You don't dwell on impurities. You don't covet worldly good. That's not worthy for someone who is an heir of heaven, an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Walk worthy. Watch your speech, my friends. Some people come out with swear words and obscenities, and they mainly say, "I can't help it." And that's to make a lie of the whole Bible. The Bible assumes you can help it, and it gives you direction. Let no evil communication come from your mouth. Why would God exhort us thus if we couldn't help it? I remember, confession is good for the soul. Shortly after I was converted, I got very annoyed with someone, and I used a word of which I was immediately ashamed. I called this person something which was sinful. And I had to leave his company, and I was so stricken that as a professing Christian, I'd sworn at this boy. And I remember going to my room and kneeling down and weeping before God that I'd let him down and I'd let myself down. My heart broke for that. And since that day, which was 50 years ago, by God's keeping grace, I can say I never erred in that way again. What you say to one another. We're thinking of young people this morning, of course, with a little Jacob in our midst. What we say to our parents. My young friends, is it worthy? Is it right so to speak to them, so to show disrespect to them, so to disobey them? Is it right? If it isn't, it should not be done. And if it is done, it should be immediately repented of, because it's not fit for a Christian, so to speak. If you can't speak without abuse, take a vow of silence for the rest of your life. It is unworthy. And what you do, of course, finally, what you do. The way you're behaving at the moment, is it Christian? I want not only the young, but the adults here to turn the searchlight upon their lives this morning. Is it Christian? Am I living a Christian life? Am I an example to others of biblical religion? Is my walk worthy? It's so searching a question. Is the way I'm behaving now appropriate for a child of the King? I'm not judging you, my friend. I'm just saying, ask yourself, the way I am behaving, is it worthy of a follower of the Lamb? What I'm doing at the present time, in the church, in the home, is it Christian? My neglect of personal devotion, is that right? my neglect of family worship? Is that right? Hear the great apostle. I beseech you, walk worthy. Unto all pleasing. What I have said to you today is eminently practical. You may know a great deal about the Bible, the Confession of Faith, the Shorter Catechism, theology and so on, but if you're not walking, my friends, it's hollow, it's vain, it's useless, and it will be judged. I think a lot of us have considerable repenting to do. A lot of us have a number of changes to make. Brethren, I don't wish to be harsh with you, and sisters neither, but get back on the road and start living consistently. It's only thus that you'll be safe. And only thus that you will know God. Walk worthy. Amen. The first part of Psalm 119, to the tune set, Jackson 74. Blessed are they that are undefiled and straight are in the way, who in the Lord's most holy law do walk and do not stray. Verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 119.